TagCastPodcast.com.
Hey guys, today's episode is brought to you as always by our gracious sponsors at Pizza Now and Complete Ag Resolutions. Complete Ag Resolutions offer you the best solutions in all your agricultural needs. They're a family-based business where the customer always comes first. Check them out at facebook.com/completeagresolutions. And Pizza Now, they're ready when you are. They're at 1705 Southeast Hill Street. And I personally would suggest that you get the porcupine pizza. It's a barbecue base with a pulled pork and pineapple and red onions if you like that stuff. Check them out. They have a Facebook at Pizza Now Albany. You can call them up at 928-0900. You can check out their Twitter at Pizza Now One. So check out Pizza Now and Complete Ag Resolutions. And now listen to your episode. Hey, Gatch.
Yeah.
We're on iTunes. We're on TuneIn. We're on Stitcher. We're on the internet. We're on Facebook. We're on TagCastPodcast.com.
You just blew my mind.
Did you say blow?
Mind. I'm losing my mind.
And now, once again, it's time for the TagCast Podcast with Terry and Gatch.
Is it blow?
Yeah.
My name's Terry Gatch.
You know what you are? You give me leg monster!
You're a sexist, egotistical, lying, hypocritical bigot.
Hello, everybody. I can't speak.
My leg was right out in the middle of the street.
Did you know that I've seen your penis 6 times today? And his name is Dustin Gatchel.
Would you go to the president's office? Shit on his desk while he's watching right there on his desk.
We don't need idiots.
Ernest?
Good for nothings. Meth heads. Or
Bob.
I'm getting made for this, boys.
The TagCast Podcast starts right now. Friday. It's rock. How you guys doing? Welcome to the TagCast Podcast. It's Friday and we're born to be fucking wild. Check it out. Slayer Wolf. Slayer does Steppenwolf. My name is Terry Guile and it is Friday. And this is episode 329 of the TagCast Podcast. Across the table sets my co-host.
No, I'm getting a lot of progress.
Yep, we switched intros because I fucked up on Wednesday. That's too full of pizza.
I am.
Have you ever heard this? Have you heard this before?
I do believe I have, but not in a long time. Probably only once.
I didn't know what to think when I heard that Slayer did "Born to Be Wild," and it was
a song that's done quite a bit, right?
Yes, but not by Slayer very often.
All right, so which is the worst one to cover, Born to Be Wild or Bad to the Bone?
I'd say Bad to the Bone.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I couldn't understand if Slayer did Bad to the Bone.
There was a...
It'd be all bad!
Z-Rock Hawaii did Bad to the Bone.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
With Ween, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was...
Not that good.
It was interesting. It's worth one listen, at least. But the rest of the album's great. I love that album.
That was my least favorite. One of my least favorite songs to do in the Bone Jar was Bad at the Bone, because you said, gotta say, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. But, it's a classic.
Yep. And this song was found on the NASCAR on Fox Presents Crank 1. So that means that Slayer's racist. They're doing NASCAR shit.
Do you remember when Gene Simmons tried to be all indie? When he went to an IndyCar event and he got stoked. He'd never seen anything like it. And he's like, you know what? I'm going to elevate this sport to what it should be. And this is pretty much, this is what he said. He said, I'm going to make this sport the number one sport worldwide.
Did he?
He wrote a song called
I am Mindy.
Mindy Kaling.
I am Mindy. And that's how it was, and that's where it ended.
Huh.
I don't think anybody ever caught on. I didn't think the power of his words were strong enough to turn the whole world as he thought they would be.
Well, Gene, you can't get your finger in every pie. I mean, Indy doesn't really sound like where you should be. When you first said that, I thought you meant he was getting all, like, indie rock on us.
Yeah, no. Well, I mean, no. They were never indie rock, were they?
No. They tried to get kind of alternative-y in the 90s.
I always think back to, like, those days in the 70s, and I guess what? Did they start in the 60s? No.
Kiss, no. No, they kind of were jamming around in the late 60s, but Gene and Paul met like early 70s, and the first incarnation of Kiss was 72, 73. They had another name, Wicked Lester, I think.
Nice.
Was
the molester.
And the guitarist from Twisted Sister, J.J. French, uh-huh. He was in that band with them.
Also. I like J.J. French, man. He's got a very unique style, man.
Yeah, and he was a member, almost ended up being in Kiss. Kind of. I mean, not really, but
he been was... Twisted.
Yeah, it would have been a Twisted Kister.
Yeah.
Twisted Keister.
I always wonder, like... They formed in 72, right? You're saying?
Kiss.
When did they play their first public show?
I think it was 73.
73. And maybe, so when did their 72? First album come out?
73.
All right.
Kiss, the first album.
Uh-huh. So they released...
Casablanca Records.
Their first album the same year that they played their first show.
Yeah.
And then their first album took off.
No, it didn't.
No?
No. No.
Okay, because I try to imagine, like...
Kiss kind of bankrupted Casablanca Records almost, and they all wanted to drop them. And it was the third album where they were just, you got one more chance, and I think that was Destroyer. And that's when it...
See, I always imagine, like, Kiss, like, because part of their is their whole stage show. And so what was it like in the early days when they're playing to, like, seven people?
They still did their whole thing, but it wasn't quite as on that big of a scale because they were just starting out. But,
but even, like, what Zeppelin, when they were playing for seven people.
I don't know if they ever were.
Really?
But they because Jimmy Page was already in the Yardbirds, so over there, and right. John Paul Jones was from another band as well, so they had a little bit of
super
stuff behind them.
Okay.
But it says that Kiss was formed in January of 73, when they actually formed as Kiss.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know.
Yeah, that just seems like a rocket ship to stardom, though.
Well,
even though I don't know, because I wasn't around, so I don't know their commercial success along the third album, which was, what, probably about 75?
Yeah.
And then the Kiss Alive was the one that really took them off, right?
Yeah, and the company record company was leery to release a double live album.
Mm-hmm.
But it says here, we'll get into some Kistery here. It traces their roots to, like I said, Wicked Lester, a New York City-based rock and roll band led by Simmons and Stanley. They had an eclectic mixture of musical styles and never achieved any success. They recorded one album, which was shelved by Epic Records, and they only played a handful of live shows. Simmons and Stanley felt that a new musical direction was needed. They abandoned Wicked Lester and began forming a new group. They put in some ads to some local papers and got Peter Criss. And... it was 73 when they finally added Ace Frehley. So they had been jamming a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In 1972.
The two, Gene and Paul.
And Peter Criss.
Mm-hmm. And so they probably had songs that they had been working on and writing.
For sure. And this says the first Kiss performance was on January 30th, 1973, for an audience of three.
January 30th?
Audience of three.
Wow.
At the Popcorn Club in Queens, New York. And for the first three gigs, they wore little to no makeup. The iconic makeup designs associated with Kiss made their debut during the March 9th and 10th shows at the Daisy in Amityville, New York. And then on March of that year, they recorded a five-song demo with Eddie Kramer. Former TV director Bill O'Coin had seen the group at a handful of concerts, offered to become their manager, and he got them their recording contract within 2 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah.
See, that's crazy that even, like, before that, how did Wicked Lester get onto Epic?
Well, they were signed to Epic, but apparently after they delivered the product, it wasn't what they thought it was going to be, so they didn't ever release it.
Oh, so
it was
pretty
shelved.
Much, it was pretty much like a stipulated contract.
Like, we'll commission
an album. You send it to us. If we like it, we'll pay you for
every
it.
Every label has the right to deny the
yeah.
delivery of the tape,
mm-hmm.
you know, so and say fix it or whatever. So,
yeah.
Let's see. So they entered the studio, I believe, in the winter of 1973.
Mm-hmm.
And by February of 74, they were doing their first tour in Canada.
Wow.
And their first album came out actually in February of 74. So it took them over a year of being, you know, a band
mm-hmm.
before their first album actually dropped. And even though it had a ton of staples, you know, it didn't do well. They did have their first national TV appearance around then on Dick Clark's In Concert, which was March 29th, 74. And they were on the Mike Douglas show. And so they were starting to get some TV performances, and they were wanting to get dropped. I mean, they didn't want to get dropped, but Casablanca was bankrupt by late 75, and Kiss
yeah.
was in danger of losing their record contract. So,
and that's almost, Casablanca is almost synonymous with Kiss, right?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
In that time
was the
era
only,
now.
Yeah, that was a bit, there was a few disco acts on it, I believe.
Yeah, there
that
was
their cash cow for sure.
Like a Motown kind of a thing before that, and almost seems like Casablanca.
I think it had just started out right before that they got signed.
Oh, wow.
As far as I know.
So they were basically signing with what today would be equivalent of one of those MySpace labels?
Well, maybe not that much, but a startup label, I guess.
Yeah.
This label had just started in June of 73,
mm-hmm.
and it was absorbed by Mercury Records in 86.
Hmm.
So it was in a record label started by Neil Bogart. I don't know who that is, but he was the leader of Casablanca Records.
Hmm.
And yeah. So they weren't a known record label for sure.
Yeah.
They were
their like little logo though.
Yeah, like a little neon lights.
Yeah.
That's kind of what it looks like. So
then for some reason I can see that fucking album of Kiss dancing with their arms up in the air. It almost is it a Wizard of Oz kind of a thing that they're doing?
Where they're kind of jumping over piles of rubble.
Oh, is there like a rainbow going on or something?
No,
going
it's just
on?
Like a city in ruins.
Oh.
And they're kind of running over the rocks and stuff. Destroyer, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the album after Alive 1, which was actually their breakthrough
mm-hmm.
that sold a million. It was gold, and it saved Casablanca.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's it seemed like there was a big Casablanca logo on there.
Yep. excuse me, Pizza Man. Now.
Yeah, they do. You know, that first album I really enjoyed, though. Like, in hindsight, probably more than some of the other ones.
Yeah, it had a Firehouse on it and a Strutter.
Yep.
I think Rock and Roll.
10,000 Years or 100,000 Years?
100,000 Years, yeah, for sure.
See, I came into Kiss late, you know, probably around 88. I was probably a little... I knew of them beforehand, but in 88 was probably my... like delving into Kiss. And so unfortunately at that time you're buying greatest hits albums and stuff like
yeah.
that. And so the greatest hits was the one
smashes, thrashes and
yeah, and hits. The one with You Make Me Rock Hard and Let's Put the X in Sex.
Well, that album only made one question come up in my mind is when does Kiss thrash?
I know, yeah, right?
And Let's Put the X in Sex, really? And
did it have Paul Stanley like doing the whole Vogue thing on the front too or
jazz
something?
Hands or
yeah.
cross jazz hands.
Mm-hmm.
And did that have like God Gave Rock and Roll to you?
Oh, probably did. I don't remember. I remember those
did you
two
because
I always
old,
make fun of those.
That was an old 70s song. Did you know that? It was a cover.
Yeah, somebody else did it, right?
Yeah, that guy that did like Rock On or something, I think.
Mark Bolan?
No, David Essex.
Oh, David Essex, huh.
I
no,
think.
I did not know that.
I can't be quoted on that, but It was one of those 70s guys like that, but
it almost seems like
it was Russ Ballard.
Oh, really?
Do you know who that is?
No.
Oh, okay, cool.
I was going to say my best guess would have been like a Todd Rundgren.
Russ Ballard used to write songs for Fuck. You ever heard of them?
Mm-mm.
It's called Fuck. That's actually, Gene Simmons said he wanted to call Kiss Fuck.
Yeah, Fuck, but they didn't think it was good marketing.
Well, next best thing. Knights in Satan's service. Hey, you know what we haven't... that was weird. We got onto a little Kiss tangent. We haven't talked about Kiss for a while. So you Kiss fans, we're going to put a link to your... we'll put a link to our podcast on your We Love Kiss Facebook.
Yeah. Kissarmy.
Kissarmy.com. So I'm going to switch away from the Kiss right now.
You're a member, though, aren't you?
No, I have a patch.
Once a member, always a member,
I don't think I ever officially joined as a kid, but maybe. I should check into that, see if I'm in the Kiss Army. Hey, yeah, Bobby Jordan, are you in the Kiss Army?
What would it be? Semper Kiss?
Semper Chi. Psi. Mao. So we haven't done this for a while, and we don't do it a lot because we kind of exhausted all of our shit talk. But I'd like to mix two segments now, talking shit with crazy Floridians. In South Beach, Florida, a Florida nonprofit group said that its new calendar called Ladies of Manure, which features scantily clad models and various forms of feces, is aimed at promoting composting. The calendar of women posing in and around manure is aimed at raising awareness of the environmental benefits of composting. The whole point is to make it less disgusting. You know, if this hot chick doesn't mind smearing fish poop all over herself, then maybe it's not that bad.
Is that what's going on in the calendar?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a resource. It's not a waste. The calendar.
Are these chicks naked?
Oh, scantily clad models. Maybe and they're just covered up with shit.
That's what I was wondering. Are you just having, just smearing poop in your pubes?
Well, if you like supporting nonprofit organizations, the calendar is available for $25 online or for a $20 donation at a Friday fundraiser at the Caffeina Wynwood Lounge in Miami. Shitty models. The Ladies of Manure, 2013.
All right, so we need to do a calendar for the VFMF. What are we going to have hot chicks posing next to?
Worms. Maybe we could have them posing with manhole covers.
Yeah, there you go.
Because that brings me to my next crazy Floridian story. This guy in Florida is accused of stealing 166 steel manhole covers and attempting to sell them as scrap. The dude's name was Chris Fink.
Mm-hmm.
And he was arrested Thursday after the Toho Water Authority reported $22,000 worth of manhole covers missing Wednesday in Poinciana, Florida. And Fink was caught attempting to sell the covers at a local metal dealer, like Deicide's record company.
Mm-hmm.
He was charged with felony counts of grand theft, dealing in stolen property, and giving false verification to a secondhand metal dealer.
Secondhand metal dealer? You mean he's selling like poison?
Selling Nickelback and shit like that.
Buck cherry.
So I wonder how much those things weigh, dude.
Oh, probably what? A manhole cover?
Like 50, 100 pounds?
Yeah, probably good. Yeah, probably.
And how are you pulling them? Do you think you got a cover puller? Like a manhole cover puller?
Probably throwing them in the back of a truck, right?
I guess.
Or whatever you got there. Maybe a trailer.
That reminds me of, you just drive around town, just pick up manhole covers, throw them back. Yeah. I got 166 manhole covers. That's at least.
Until you go to the place where, you already go on the street to go back home, and then you're hitting all the
holes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they find the guy in a manhole with manhole covers in the back of his truck.
That must have been the origin of the Onion story I read, that Joe Biden scored like a whole roll of copper wire. While him and his buddy Blaze were smashing through some drywall, they hit the jackpot, and then were celebrating with 240s of some Saint Dez or something. It said it was pretty funny. It's like, it's way better than fishing for those manholes. Those are way too heavy. Copper wire. You just got to know where to sell it.
That reminds me of Trailer Park Boys when he's walking in there and he's ripping his copper plumbing out from behind his stove and stuff. Yeah. And Bubbles is all, is your plumbing fucked up, Ray? And he's like, nope. And he's like, he's like, why are you ripping your plumbing out? And he's like, I'm going to sell it for booze money, Bubbles. I can get 40 bucks out of this stuff. Or did you ever see that movie called, shit. It's got Jack Black and,
Envy?
Billy Crudup. No, it's called Jesus the Son.
No.
If you've never seen it, dude, you got to watch it. And it's got Dennis Leary in it. And this part where Dennis Leary and Jack Black go to this house and he's like, I need you to help me do this job. He's like, we're going to tear all the wiring out of this house and go sell it for scrap so we can get some heroin. And so they're taking sledgehammers and knocking out the drywall and then just grabbing the 110 wire and just stripping it out, you know. So they're doing this whole house. They're doing it for like a long time. They get all this wire and they get done and they're putting it all in the front of his bug, VW bug. It's like, whose house is this anyway? And he's like, this is my fucking house. Dennis Leary said. He's like, yeah, but we're getting divorced. The wife's getting it. So, I just figured I'd take some of the stuff that was mine.
Nice.
So they go get like $40 worth of heroin.
I got a crazy Floridian for you.
Cool.
Now, this lady has, she was worried about her kids in school.
Yeah, as most ladies are.
Uh-huh. And so she paid $32 an hour, 2 months up front, for a security guard.
Wow.
To have an armed deputy stationed at her kids' elementary school.
So we're talking either first through fifth grade.
Yeah, so she paid for it out of her own pocket.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think that's...
Was this after those shootings and stuff?
Yeah. Yeah, the middle school and high school already have full-time deputies, but the elementary one was just grabbed whenever there was an extra deputy that hadn't wanted an extra shift or something, so she took it into her own hands and paid for it. And then there's another...
I think that's a bit much.
There's... You know those dry erase boards?
Yeah.
They now make bulletproof ones.
What's the point of that?
They create...
So you can hold them up?
Yeah.
So like if a robber, if a terrorist comes in and tries to shoot everybody, mm-hmm. you just grab the dry
erase board. Exactly it. It's 18 by 20... And can adequately protect the head and torso. Handles on the back allow for it to be held like a shield. And they're also, you can now get bulletproof backpacks and clothing.
And you can write messages to the shooter.
Yeah, you could. You could. Stop shooting.
You're an asshole. You're killing children.
Yep.
And he's like, oh, man, you know what? You're right. Here, take the gun. I'm sorry.
This is made by the Maryland Armor Company, the same guys behind mine-resistant technology. That protect our military convoys.
Well, I think that's way more legit than sending your kid to school with a security guard or a bodyguard.
As long as it's cost effective, you know, because schools are already, you know, sure, get a whiteboard that can be used as a shield or just fucking get shields.
Yeah.
You know, like go over and you put like you have. Just a corner, you know, you always hang up your jackets, right? And then you just stack like 20 little bulletproof shingles right there, right? And then if anything happens, you can go. And...
But if you got them on dry erase boards, then you're getting two birds stoned at once. You know, you can use
it.
That is true. And then, like, you already have it in your hand. Today's lesson, we will be learning about the history of George Washington and how he grew marijuana and had sex with slaves. All right, so, yeah, I think that's a bit much, but at least, you know, they're sending their kids to school with security guards, and then out in the back 40, they got people hunting for pythons. And I got an update on that story. In the first week, only 30 pythons were killed.
Wow. How much was it a head?
Nothing per head.
Prize to the
whoever got the most was $1,500, and whoever get the longest one gets $1,000. But 777 people signed up. And after 2 weeks of hunting, they only got 30. So the event runs through February 10th, and we're going to give you an update on who won.
Huh.
And but you'd think, you know, they were saying
so
that
they're smart and communicating with each other and saying, hey, we're getting killed like ravens would.
I think they listened to the show and they found out that they were having a contest by listening to Tagcast podcast.
Yeah.
Because if you're not listening to Tag podcast, you probably got fucking syphilis up in between your legs.
You just might be a bird.
You just might be a bird. But, yeah, I just wanted to do a little update on the Python story while we were wrapping up our crazy Floridian section.
What lengths would you go to for a free pizza?
All.
Really?
No, I'm just kidding. But free pizza, I would trade airtime on my podcast for free pizza.
Yeah.
I would give someone a ride somewhere if they were going to pick up the pizza, if I got to eat some free pizza. I would probably go as far as to hang out with people that I didn't really enjoy hanging out with just to eat their pizza.
Well, this guy took it a little bit farther.
Okay. That's as far as I'd go, but that'd be on a bad day if I was hungry and hadn't had pizza for a while.
Well, his family was starving in Montana. He summoned the courage to rob a pizzeria.
Okay, sounds Trailer Park Boys-ish.
The clerk started to hand him the money.
Oh, I thought he was taking pizza.
Oh, and he broke down crying.
He said, just give me the pizza.
And just ended up leaving with the pizza to feed his family.
Oh, so he wasn't brave enough to go through with the robbery.
Yeah, he had a bandana on his face, like, you know.
Like those guys from that band?
He had a bandana, like, across his face, like you'd see.
Like a bandit.
Like, yeah, a 1910 Western or something.
Or like that metal band, Blood Oath.
Yeah, and he entered, it was a Papa John's, and he handed a note.
Can't you just say the words?
Yeah, and they started to comply, because, you know, who wants trouble? And then he just started crying and said that he was just trying to provide for his family.
Oh, was it Ray Lewis?
Yeah.
He just started crying.
And thank God for this pizza. The clerk offered him a pizza and some chicken wings, and then he waited while the food was cooked, and now the police are trying to locate him.
Well, son of a bitch.
But they don't know what kind of charges they can bring out against him.
Well, attempted robbery. Did he have a gun or anything? Or just a piece of paper?
I think just a piece of paper.
I'll cut you.
They don't want to see him do it again, and I mean, nobody wants to see him do it again, but no. I mean, he didn't.
He didn't commit the crime.
He didn't really do, you know, I mean, obviously he's remorseful.
Yeah.
At the fact. He didn't take any money. They offered him free food, so he just took it. And you know, I don't know, man.
Yeah.
He didn't do anything, really.
He started to, but,
he started.
You know,
he attempted robbery.
If he would have had a gun, though, it would be a totally different story.
Oh,
know?
Yeah.
And because he didn't have a gun, then maybe they probably won't even pursue him. They'll say, well, he got to feed his family. Maybe it gave him a reality check. Think, what the fuck am I doing? I need to get my shit together and get a job or something, or stand on the corner with a cardboard sign.
Which is something, I mean, go in front of a judge and say, and see what he says. Because they can go, hey, man, you know.
I was at my wit's end. My family was hungry, and I didn't know what to do, so I was going to rob the place. I asked for money. I realized what I was doing. They offered me the pizza.
Yeah.
I took it, and I ran away crying.
Yeah.
Please don't.
If you're going to go and rob a place for, like, $30, you might as well just go and stand and beg on the corner.
And that's when you say, keep this in mind, Judge. If you put me in jail, I will eat 3 meals a day, but my family will still go hungry. That's my play on it with judges. You know, and speaking of judges, I've had to go in front of judges before. Mm-hmm. Not a lot, but a few times. Like, I don't know if I shared this story before, but I got reminded of it by another story that I read. I got a DUI on a bicycle one time. A 10-speed bicycle.
Were you swerving in the lane?
No, actually, I wasn't even... I was severely drunk.
Because I've, like, swerved in the lane just because nobody's in there. You know, you're...
No, it was basically just all they could get me for. I was throwing some crates at the wall at the Dairy Mart because I was mad at my girlfriend and I was extremely intoxicated.
Uh-huh.
And they were just plastic milk crates.
Like the square little ones?
Yeah, they're like gray plastic and they might have... I'm throwing them at a brick wall. Well, the neighborhood watch apparently saw me. This was back when I was like 20, 19 or something like that.
Yeah, you didn't see the neighborhood watch sticker in their window?
I knew it was a neighborhood watch area because it was my neighborhood. But so they said I was trying to break into the Dairy Mart. Like I'm going to break through brick with a fucking
You're
milk
throwing it at the wall. You're not even throwing it at the windows?
No.
Was it open?
No.
This was if it was open, that would have been really silly.
Yeah. I tried to break in, but it was open. So then the cop comes, and I take off riding on my bike because I see him, and I'm like, oh, shit, there's a cop. And so,
yeah.
And I actually did. I, like, climbed up a tree, tried to get away from him.
Well, you probably knew the guy, right?
Ended up, yeah, he had dated my sister because he was a resident deputy. Anyhow, he gives me a DUI.
Uh-huh.
I go before the judge. I think I talked about this on another episode, but we got up to the judge.
Mm-hmm.
And I told him that I, you know, he said, oh, it was found on this day that you did this crime. And the bike was a Monte Carlo. That was the brand name of the bicycle. So he was under the impression that it was a car.
Oh.
And I said, it was a bicycle, actually. And he goes, it says Monte Carlo here. And I said, well, it was a Monte Carlo 10-speed bicycle. And he's like, oh. But he said, that doesn't change anything. And, you know. Still same charge, and they said that they'd changed the law to from motor vehicle to vehicle. Anything that you can get a DUI on a skateboard or a horse. Now, I'd always thought that a Segway would be included, right? You know what a Segway is?
Yeah, but you can't fall off those things.
Well, in St. Paul, Minnesota, just actually on your birthday, there's no such thing as drunken driving while on a Segway in Minnesota, the State Court of Appeals said in a ruling on that Tuesday. A man was arrested for drunken driving, and his charges were tossed out of court, even though his blood alcohol level was found to be 0.19, or more than twice the legal limit. He was stopped by Medina City Police on February 4th of 2012 and charged with driving while impaired after an officer spotted his Segway drifting twice across the center line in the road. The court's ruling said, a lawyer told the Pioneer Press that the court got it right. I think that if people want to take the Segway to the bar, they can do that now. It says, I think they always should have been able to. The ruling was by a three-panel judge, and it was split 2-1. And it says because it's a self-balancing device, you know, it's like you said, you can't really tip it over. It's self-balancing.
Yeah.
But if you can get a DUI on a horse or a skateboard or a bicycle.
A horse is a self-balancing
device. Yes, it is.
You do not have the control of the balance, so there's pretty much... Rest assured that thing's not going to run in front of... Well, I guess it could run in front of a car. But your drunkenness is not going to control that the animal to a degree of craziness. A skateboard, maybe, but I don't see you doing any damage with a skateboard if you're drunk, other than maybe falling off. And
I don't think this is nationwide. It's probably just in this town of St. Paul, Minnesota. Or in, it says in Minnesota, so it's probably statewide. But
I don't know if you could... going to split hairs between the Segway and those other things. It's all or nothing, you know?
Yeah, and one person is saying that it's not a vehicle, where another judge says that a vehicle, as defined in traffic regulations, includes every self-propelled device that transports people or property on a highway, and the Segway meets that definition.
Self-propelled, though, right?
Self-propelled. A skateboard's not self-propelled.
Uh-uh.
And a horse is self-propelled. A bicycle's not self-propelled.
Uh-uh.
But see, that...
I guess I mean that it is in motion... While you're not physically pushing it,
yeah.
So
someone
like you
else
push it, and then you're not. It is self-propelled after you push it because
you keep
still
rolling.
Going.
Yeah, I guess
momentum.
But I just kind of thought that I fucking kind of got gypped a little bit. You know, if I got a DUI on a bike 20 years ago, or 21 years ago, and now they're saying that you can ride a Segway to the bar and be okay.
Dude, I
see some people riding Segways in Portland, and they just look like retards.
Have you ridden one?
No.
I haven't either.
Are they?
But You think if they're comfortable enough and you're tired enough, you could just fall asleep on it and you'd be like just barely leaning forward. So you'd just be traveling while you're sleeping.
Like the people I saw driving
sleep
to Portland,
segueing.
They didn't even know how to do it. They were like all jerky and stuff. But
well, kind of like more like Job on.
Yeah, he looked pretty proficient actually on that.
Yeah. I bet that guy rides one around though. He seems like he just get off on playing the part of. I'm so elite, I ride a Segway around and smug about it. That's his humor. That's his humor.
He's so funny in that Todd Margaret.
He is.
I still haven't watched the last couple episodes.
Oh, really?
But
what was the show I was watching the other day? Oh, that I finished, American Horror Story.
Season 2?
Mm-hmm.
Ah. A couple of them turned up on my DVR. I don't know why, but it was like episode 8 and 10, and I'm not going to watch them because I don't want to spoil it.
I kept going to Amazon. Because that's where I was buying them at like $2 an episode, just keeping up each week. And the last one I saw was like episode 11 or something. I was like, man, they haven't had any episodes for weeks. I'm like, fuck it. Mm-hmm. And then I realized I'm looking at my video library of what I've already purchased. That's why they're not showing up. And so I looked and there's like two episodes. And the last one of the season is on there. I don't know. I don't know how much you want me to say about it.
Oh, well, at this point, I'm going to have to rewatch season one, I think, mm-hmm. just at least the last couple episodes to find out where I was because it's been so long now. I'm more excited that Walking Dead's going to start again on the 10th.
The series is done.
It's only two seasons?
Yeah.
I thought each season was like a different incarnation of a different place and a different time. But I don't know. So it's two seasons. That's a short. That's short.
I don't know what more they could do with it. But I would have to rewatch the end of season one because...
Yeah, I've heard that people who watched season one and season two said season two started in a totally different place with a different cast.
Oh, yeah.
Different...
But it's the same cast, but different people.
Same cast, but different people. Well,
it all makes sense.
Yeah. Some of the same cast, but not...
Yeah.
All of the same cast.
Yeah. But I would... I watched season one twice.
All the way through?
Yeah. I'll just let it play in the background.
Oh, because you've already seen it once, so...
Yeah. Yeah, because I watched it on Netflix, and I then watched parts of season two, and I'm like, well, now I'm really confused, so I went back and watched parts of season two again, then I watched parts of season one again.
Yeah.
And now I still don't even recall any of it.
Yeah.
Or half of it.
Yeah, unless you try to think about it, and you're like, oh, yeah, this happened, and that happened, and then this happened.
You watch so many things, you know, you end up, you're watching it, and you're like, wasn't Chum Lee on here last episode?
Chum Lee, you always say that like he's some martial arts Japanese. Chum Lee. Chum Lee.
He'll make wine. He makes a wine with his feet.
He'll make
wine.
He
does it that way. And then makes the old man drink it.
Yeah.
Then they brought in it was a big old frame of a Twainism or something like that.
Yeah.
Mark Twain. Yeah, it was just his handwritten something, and it said, like, it was just a mundane saying, but it was true.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, whoever smelt it, dealt it, or something that, you know, that... Well, it wasn't even funny, but it's like, huh, I guess that's true, but I guess it kind of seems like common sense.
Right.
But, you know, big old frame, his handwritten, it's their collectible.
And it's supposed to be written by Mark Twain?
Yeah, yeah. And it was, you know, it was verified and everything. And he paid like $2,500 for it, the owner of the shop.
Whoa.
And Chumley's like, well, that's stupid. They're just a saying on a piece of paper. And then so he started following the old man around.
Yeah.
And writing down everything he said. And then he framed them. And they weren't even spelt correctly.
Yeah.
Nothing, you know, it was like letters left out and shit. And then he was trying to sell them at the shop for like $30.
I think the little, it's probably less dramatic than Pawn Star or... Yeah, Pawn Stars. I'm talking
Hardcore Pawn.
Yeah. So, but I kind of like the interaction between like the youngest son and the grandpa.
Mm-hmm.
like I saw this episode where he bought the head of this like stretch toy. It was like part of the Stretch Armstrong thing, but it was a stretchy snake, and it was like it didn't go well, and so they discontinued it really quickly. So it made it even more rare, and it was just
everybody was pulling on the snake.
It just wasn't, I guess, it just wasn't good. You know, like Stretch Armstrong, you could pull him, and he'd always go back to shape. But every once in a while, after you've had it and pulled it apart, you'd get a hole, and the liquid would start leaking out of it or something. So this head was just like the head of it, and he said, I had it as a kid, and I threw the body away because it started leaking, and I didn't know it was going to be worth anything. He goes, but I did see that this one of these intact, there's only a few of them, and it sold for like $12,000. And he's like, so I was figuring, if I had the head, I could maybe get $6,000. And he's like, you got to be kidding me, man. I can't do that. And then they did some research, and he goes, you know, I'll give you, I think he gave him like $4,000 or something for it. And so the old man was pissed. He's like, get back here. Who the hell? You spent $5,000 on a piece of plastic? He's like, that's coming out of your paycheck if we can't. He's like, Grandpa, they were sold for $12,000, and there's only like four of them in the whole United States. And he's like, well, if this is worth anything more than 5 cents, I'll be surprised. He's like, I'll bet you. He goes, whoever wins the bet cleans the shop, or whoever loses the bet cleans the shop. We're going to have a professional come in, expert, check it out. Ended up saying it was worth $5,000. And he's like, well, I'm cleaning the shop. He talks so funny. He's like,
Have you ever seen him with his eyes open?
No. Does he open them?
Come on and kick your ass.
I don't see why you would sit around and raise your leg flowers around.
Why get back to work and let's dicking around, Chumley?
We were watching that Duck Dynasty. That's pretty funny, too.
It is.
It's so backwards.
Why they
got to
make it so entertaining the way they edit those things, you know?
I know. It's just like, you don't want to like that show because it's so backwards, but it's fucking hilarious.
It is. They're characters. Yeah. They hang out and they're funny.
Yeah, for sure.
You know? This is amazing. And then you actually see the show, and so you're like, how the hell did they get their money? Because you keep hearing millionaires. And
making duck calls.
Well, then you go to their website, and it's like duck calls, appearance fees now, you know? And it just goes to show what a good business plan and marketing can do for a company. I mean, because it's fucking duck calls, and look at what they are now.
Yeah, but I think they were probably a multi-million-dollar corporation before they got their show, weren't they?
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they you know, within the trade shows and stuff, and I think if you were a hunter and you were one that used calls, you would probably have heard of them.
Yeah.
You know,
and they're from Louisiana, you know, so they're probably way more popular down there. Quack. But they brought in like an efficiency expert the other day on the main boss guy with the beard. I don't know if he's the younger brother or the older brother, but the guy who's basically running it. And they're all playing basketball in there, and the old man's sleeping in the back, and he's like, this guy's a business associate, a business consultant, and he's going to help us be more efficient and run more of his company, and he got uniforms for him and stuff. You can't be laying around. You got to take breaks when it's break time because we want this company to move forward. And they were pissed. They didn't want it. I ain't wearing no monkey suit.
Yeah.
We're here to make duck calls, not a fashion show.
Yep. I want to set this up where we're working 40 hours a week.
Yeah.
What?
It's supposed to be a family fun business, right? No.
Yeah. You know, I mean, all right, twice a week. I mean, how many duck calls do you need to make a fucking week? I think, a lot of their money is probably made now in appearance fees, probably more than anything.
Probably, yeah. And the TV show.
Yeah. Yeah.
Speaking of money.
I wonder what they pay those reality show stars.
That's what
like
I wonder,
that,
too.
I know, like, Jersey Shore, they get like $5 million a character.
For a season?
Yeah. You know, $2 to $5 million per cast mate per season. And the Duck Dynasty is way more entertaining.
Oh, for sure.
Even at half value than the fucking Jersey Shore shit or Southie Rules or whatever the fuck I keep seeing. Dude, I was so lazy the other day on TV the other night. I was 19 minutes into a prostate commercial.
Oh, shit.
I know. That's well, lazy.
That is lazy. You don't got a remote?
It was three steps away.
Oh, fuck that. I'll just keep on.
I know.
But speaking of money, and I wonder how much they make, I'm trying to look it up, but I don't think it'll
It'll
come up soon enough. But do you get most of your, do you have your checks direct deposited, or do you have to cash checks?
Cash.
And you just deposit them into it, and then you have to get money out of the ATM?
I deposit them into the ATM.
Oh, okay.
Because otherwise they won't release my money.
Those bastards.
If I take it inside to the bank and hand it to a physical person, they won't release my money for a day. But if I put it into the machine and cash it that way, they'll release $200 for me immediately.
Right. And so
the next day.
And so you're one of those people that when you have when you want cash, you have to go to the ATM to get it, right? So I do that sometimes as well because I have a card that has a direct deposit on it. And sometimes as a person that does that, don't you get a little pissed when you have to always get $20 or more?
Mm-hmm.
They're coming out with some new ATM machines. It'll give you exact change. Ones, fives, tens, even change. It's Chase and PNC.
Nice.
Have launched the new
Chase.
Automated teller machines that will dispense the exact, they'll dispense the exact change people need down to the dollar or even to the cent because they're trying to make it more like interaction with an actual teller.
Oh, they're competing for your dollar.
Exactly. Well, of course. Mm-hmm. Yes. They're looking to create a virtual teller experience that will help banking institutions to cut back on staff while increasing efficiency for customers and making more money for themselves.
It ain't going to be more efficient. Let me tell you what's going to happen.
What's going to happen?
They're going to put a video of some virtual reality crap teller on the screen. You're going to have to sit there and listen to go, "Hello, how can I help you?" And go through all the options instead of just click, 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 click. You're going to have to put up with their so-called interaction that they want you to put into. But just to fuck with them, every time I use their machines, I am going to get 99 cents at the end.
Fuck yeah, just to fuck them up. Mm-hmm.
If I want $11, I'll get $11.99.
See, and this is one thing that I've ran into, and a lot of people in my same situation have when you kind of aren't rich and you live paycheck to paycheck and you get down to the last end of the month and you got $19.50 on your card and you can't get fucking $19. Well, it says right here that this is particularly in difficult financial times where people account balances have been lower and they can't even bring the money out. So this will be helpful to those people and they'll just charge you more fees though. It'll be $2.50. We'll get another $2.50 out of you for getting less than 20 and then you'll have to get another $5 out later and pay another $2.50.
That is true unless you use the branch or whatever, right?
Right.
So I recently opened online an account at a credit union.
Yeah.
And then I could not log in.
Why? Because you forgot your password?
No, because, you know, you can't just create a bank account online.
You can't?
I guess not. They must need some sort of verification. I thought it was kind of weird. Oh, just enter your name. Oh, there's your fucking bank account. No, but I'm concerned because I don't know what their ATMs, because you're probably going to be looking at a fee everywhere then, right?
Well, even Dairy Mart has implemented a fee now.
Did they not used to?
Yeah. They didn't,
huh.
Which was kind of cool.
It was.
But if your bank does a fee, then you still get paid the fee there.
Yeah, it's the double dipping that pisses me off. I can handle one or the other, preferably the store, because the bank, fuck off.
Yeah.
You know.
Excuse me.
But when I was in Vegas, it was $5, the merchant fee, dude.
I can't stop.
On top of the other fucking bank fee, it was $4.99. Pull
like
money out of
strip clubs, it's like $5.
Yeah, I'd imagine.
Sometimes.
Yeah, yeah. Jack that thing up to 20.
Yeah,
if I was on a strip club.
You get a lap dance.
You'd think it'd dispense in ones. Damn it!
Now they will.
Hey.
Yeah.
Man,
why didn't
there be more ATMs in the strip club than strippers?
But just think, they'd have to fill it with all those $1 bills. You'd think they'd have to replace the money more often.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why they're putting it in every corner.
More people to have to go out on the job and getting paid for doing more work and eventually having to charge you more.
It's just like the busy arcade with the quarter machines. You know, they always have more than one.
Yeah.
Do they still have the Wonderland over there in Eugene?
I don't think so. The 5 cent.
Yeah.
They may, but I don't never hear about it. And you'd think with a Blair Alley.
You ever go down there to the Fifth Street Market or anything?
Not for a long time. I used to back when we used to go to Wonderland and stuff. But you'd think with Blair Alley and Level Up going that they would probably be saying, Wonderland, it's 5 cents. These are all 25 cents.
Yeah. But I just didn't know because it'd been a long time since I'd been to a Wonderland. But I knew it was there for a long time.
Yeah. How long has it been since you've been arrested for having sex with a corpse?
6 years.
What's the statute on that?
Seven.
Are you registered necrophiliac?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have to go and knock on all the tombstones and let them know.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. I fuck dead people. That could be a new spinoff.
But why would you be scared? If you had to go and tell your neighbors that.
It's the seventh sense.
Why would you be scared, though? Because it's not like they have to worry.
Yeah, you ain't going to worry until you're dead.
And when don't you get, worry.
Be happy.
I'm not going to come and have sex with you unless
and
you die.
And after you die, you won't have to worry about it because you can't worry when you're dead.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a male nurse at a hospital in Sherman Oak, California, was arrested for committing a sex crime on a corpse. He was 61 years old.
The corpse?
And no, the guy that was fucking the corpse. I think it was a fresh corpse.
Mm-hmm.
But that's gross.
Does age matter when it's a corpse?
Well, it doesn't say how old the corpse was.
I know, but does it?
I guess not. Dead's dead.
Yeah, okay.
But what if you're having sex with a dead baby?
That's what I'm asking.
What if you're having sex with a dead 14-year-old and you're over 21?
I don't know. Do they get you for both?
Does it exit out?
Do they get you for one count or two?
If you get committed sex crime on a corpse, it X's out any type of statutory rape or sex.
What if you're into necrobeastie pedophilia? Like when you're fucking dead baby possums.
Or fucking dead kitties.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking dead puppies.
Mm-hmm.
Boy,
there's like three or four band names there.
I wish this story was longer, but it's. I guess they didn't want to get into details, but the security guards at the hospital had him in custody when the police arrived.
Wow. Well, that is nasty.
Yeah, and what do you think that the family of the people think? You know, it's like this old dude.
Well,
Alarondo Razo.
That's a desecration of a dead body.
Big time.
Right? And
he's fucking with my family is what he's doing.
That would be disturbing to know that, you know, your aunt or someone was...
Your beloved aunt.
Yep.
She was really beloved.
Yeah. But even dead people need love.
Yeah, they do. I mean, it'd probably been a while since you had a hug.
And as long as it isn't at the viewing.
Yeah. I mean, come on. Her soul had probably already left her body.
Mm-hmm.
So she didn't know what was going on.
Yeah. And then, was the guy married that was doing it or anything? Did he have any significant other?
No details, man.
Well, was he a lonely guy and that's his only source?
I'm just luring in the listeners. I'll give you the details coming up next week.
So, it seems to me also that if you're getting caught, it's not your first time.
Probably not. Because you've done it before, but you just hadn't got caught before.
Yeah. There is the guy in history, and I watched this on some TV program, that he kept his dead wife after she had died, and he was loving on her, and it was
That's your wife.
It was a couple years before they discovered what was going on.
Dude, that's just gross. I mean, I can understand, you know, I've had people...
You know,
hurt.
She was just laying in bed all the time.
Yeah, she's lazy. She always was lazy.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think that he might have been able to... I think he might have been a mortician or something where he was able to drain out her fluids. And the process of rotting was slowed.
But
probably not completely halted. Still, and then probably after a couple of years is probably when the rotting really started to occur.
Still.
And then he probably got an illness from breathing it in all the time and probably... I don't remember the whole story. I just remember, she was just laying in bed, all dressed up in her, probably her wedding gown, because that's what you'd want her to put her in, right, at that.
Yeah. Oh, man. But, you know, I've heard of people that their animal's dying or their kid dying, mm-hmm. and they just don't, they just love them, and they just want to hug them, and never heard of them keeping them for years, but...
Well, you said animals are pets, and so I thought you were going to go with the stuffed thing, that some people have their pets stuffed, but then you said kids, and I'd... Like, I don't know if anybody's ever stuffed a kid.
I don't think it's allowed.
Well, if you're a taxidermist, you know, and if you did taxidermy and somebody offered you $20,000 to stuff their kid, would you do it?
That's
a year's wages.
That's a moral issue right there.
It is.
I mean.
Well, I don't know. Everybody has a price, right?
Oh, wasn't that on Jackass? Johnny Knoxville went into a taxidermist place and said that he wanted to get his grandma stuffed.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
I would imagine.
He said, maybe you could just come in the back door real quick. And they're like, we can't do that. And they're like, why can't you?
Yeah.
I love her. I want to keep her around for a while.
Yeah, that sounds familiar. But yeah, I mean, I believe that if you wanted it done, you could have it done.
Yeah.
Somewhere.
Oh, sure.
You know, yeah, I mean.
You could find somebody to do
it. Yeah. But
if I was a taxidermist, I don't think I'd do it.
What about...
Maybe for a million.
Would you ever taxidermy an ant?
For the right price? Hell yeah, it'd be a fucking delicate job.
Would be.
My buddy has a swordfish that he caught.
Oh, wow.
Mounted on his wall. But it's got some replacement parts. I'm sure they all do. Like, they put in fake eyeballs and whatnot when they do bears and deer and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
But it's just weird. It's called something a dermy. It's not taxidermy, but it's... For fish. I can't remember, but it's super expensive, I guess, from what I've heard.
My mom said the other day she's got a fish, and I think once a week she cleans it out. And
she cleans the fish?
Well, she cleans the fish tank. And the other day she told me it was the fish's birthday.
Okay. Is it a goldfish?
I think it's one of those betas, the Siamese fighting fish.
They get all puffy when you put them next to a mirror?
Yeah.
Those are cool.
And I said, so when is a fish's birthday? Is it when the egg is laid or when it hatches from the egg? Or just when you buy it?
When you buy it, right?
Well, that'd be the only date you could probably pin on unless you watched it be born.
Or unless they had some documentation at the pet store where they bought it. Like, you know, when you buy a documented dog or a cat, it'll say this cat was born on this day.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know when my cat was born, so I give it the day that it was given to me is its birthday, which is my birthday. So that's easy to remember. But my cat was almost 2.
Mm-hmm.
So
you just add 2 years on?
Yeah, I just add 2 to the birthday of 2006.
He knows, though. You know that, right? She knows.
She knows what? When her birthday is?
Yeah.
Well, maybe I wish she'd tell me. She's been talking a lot lately, but I can't understand fucking meow.
Yeah.
She'll just like...
Probably been saying it's cold this time of year.
So like she was sitting there looking at me. I'm standing by the fire and she's just like intently looking like right in my eyes looking at me and won't look away. And I was like, what, Kate? She's like, meow. And I was like, what? Meow. And every time I'd say something, she'd say something. So I said, so you could be like... So I started saying, speak. Speak, Kate. And she'd go, meow. I did this like 5 times. I was like, badass, I'm getting the camera. So I get the camera. I get the camera and I turn it on and I'm like, speak, Kate. And she's just like.
You know what she was saying?
Speak.
I can't believe you forgot my birthday.
That's my birthday too. How could I forget it? Kate Starr. She was a wrestler. We're going to talk about her when we have Bobby on the show. I'm going to be calling you soon, Bobby. I almost thought about calling you on the show just without telling you, but that would be mean because then you might not be ready. Hey, oh, man, I'm going to eat another piece of pizza pretty soon. Speaking of Pizza Now, remember we went to Pizza Now and then we went to Bob's Market after? We stopped at Bob's Market on the way back so you could go to the ATM or something.
Yeah.
And then we came out and you started to get in the wrong car.
Yeah.
How many of our listeners have ever gotten to the wrong car? It's the same color, parked somewhere in the parking lot, and you just, that's a car. It was a funny story.
It's not the first time, and to be honest, it's not the worst time.
Oh, I've done it too.
I've actually sat down, I think, in a car before.
I just heard a story a few weeks back where the lady was waiting for her husband to come out of the store, and an old guy came in and sat in the car, and then he looked over and said, "Sorry," and got out of the car.
It's a good way to get yourself shortages.
I guess, you know. And so here's what happened in Sweden. An 80-year-old lady came out of her grocery store, and she got into the wrong car and drove it home. She got home and then realized...
How would the key fit?
The keys were in it.
Oh.
So she got into what she thought was her car, and the keys were in the ignition, so she drove home. And it wasn't until the woman's daughter questioned where a bag that had been in the car came from that the mix-up was reported, because there was another bag in the car mm-hmm. that she had accidentally stolen. The daughter said the car parked in front of her mother's house was no resemblance to her mother's car at all.
At all.
No resemblance. And the owner of the car had already reported it stolen. But once they found out that what happened and they got the car returned, there were no charges being filed.
Well, that's the way it should be.
But she's 80, dude. I don't know about old people driving.
I think at a certain
age... An octogenarian?
Age, I think at a certain age, you should probably have to go through some sort of yearly, at least an eye exam. Because it's just
Even
that,
at 60 or 70, yeah, you know, check your peripheral vision with that little machine. Mm-hmm.
Just go in and have that little eye thing going on, you know, that you do at the driver's license just once a year. It takes like 3 minutes, go in, blah, 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 do it, and just put a little stamp on the driver's license and go, here you go. You
and maybe a little
year.
Common sense test.
I honestly think probably everybody should probably go and get that eye thing done once a year.
I thought you were going to say a common sense test.
And a common sense test. Well, I'm not against that.
I try to get my eyes tested every 2 years, and they pretty much have been staying the same, because I think because of the fact that I wear my glasses a lot, my mm-hmm. and my eyes aren't getting worse.
It's still 200, 900?
2,900.
2,900.
But I don't think that's...
So
I'm legally
when
blind.
You see, when
that
you,
can't be true.
When you look at something 20 feet away, it
can't
looks 900 feet away.
I think that was a misprint on my doctor's, on his prescription.
You think it could be 90?
2090? Oh,
yeah,
it's definitely at least 2090.
So you look at something 20 feet away and it looks 90 feet away?
Yeah.
Wow.
And if you're over 2100 without your glasses, then that's like legally blind.
Yeah.
Because you're like
100 feet. Around.
And like, it's not that I can't see, it's just blurry.
Old man pawn.
Like... If I squint, I can read, well, if I didn't know what it said.
But maybe. It's not a depth perception. Is it a depth perception
Oh,
thing?
No. It's
so
just,
you don't literally see.
It's a clarity.
Like 20 feet away doesn't literally like seem, whoa, that's 90 feet away.
Whoa, like if I'm 20 feet up, I feel like I'm 90 feet up?
Yeah.
No. It's just the clarity and the focus of the object. Because, you know, as it gets farther away, it gets blurry, you know, so. Like, I can read that victims of internal decay sign, but mm-hmm. I think if I didn't know what it said, I might not be a...
Oh, really? That's pretty big letters there.
You can pull your eyes back like that. Now I can read it perfect. That's so weird. Mm-hmm. Did you know you could do that? I probably look funny.
That's why the old man pawn squints so much.
Why he goes...
Yeah. You get more peripheral.
There's this one tweaker that used to watch TV like this all the time. He just... Come into his house and he's like this.
Some people do when they think they just.
No, this guy's like this. He's like, why is the TV like this? Like, dude, what are you doing? He's like, I'm focusing my eyes. He's like, really?
He likes. He was an early innovator for widescreen.
HD, dude. Yep. If you got perfect vision and you pull your eyes back like that,
1280 by 720.
Oh man, I got a 1280p. P 1280p p. I can't remember when we started that. We're not at an hour yet, are we?
It's probably closage.
Yeah.
You haven't done What's In.
That's right, I haven't. You think I should?
I don't know.
We should just do like a...
Yeah. What episode is the Black Sabbath thing on?
The last time Jerry Murphy was here. But you know what I was thinking? We should just do an episode where we just keep alluding to the fact that we're going to wrap up and mm-hmm. alluding to the fact that we're going to do birthdays, alluding to the fact that we're going to do What's in Hans' CD player, and then just never do it. And Hans will have listened for
what
2
if,
hours. And
what
not,
if...
what?
What if he just kept alluding to it and never got to it? Like for an hour and then we got to it.
No, 2 hours and then never get to it.
Can we have Lindsey Buckingham on the show? And Matt Damon?
Is that Precious? What was his name, that dog off of the Laugh Olympics? Hans, you remember that cartoon? That took my breath away. Hans likes to watch Adventure Time or Adventureland. Do you know what that is?
What is that?
I don't know. It's a cartoon show for kids.
What's in Hans' CD player?
Adventureland.
You know which one I like is the Mad show.
What's in Hans' CD player?
Yeah.
We're going to find
Mad TV?
Well, it's not Mad TV. It's on Cartoon Network.
What's in Hans' CD player?
I don't know.
It's just called Mad. And it is spy versus spy stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And then it's a... But it's funny. It's real ADD quick stuff, almost like a robot chicken without the... figurines, more cartoon based.
Yeah. Well, it's still going. I'm gonna find
Hans,
right,
what are you listening to today?
What are you listening to? Hans, just tell us. I'm tired of asking. He's listening to John Lee Hooker live at the Cafe Agogo, parentheses, and Soledad Prison.
All right. He, so is he the guy story. That did. A boom, boom, boom.
A boom, yeah. Yeah, he did. He's a boom, boom. Not Big Head Todd the Monsters either.
No, no, no.
No, he did
boom. A boom, boom, boom.
And he did another song or two, too, but I can't remember what they were.
Yeah, I'm familiar with the name. I haven't delved into his career.
He's in that, right? I consider him in the realm of, like, Muddy Waters, you know, those
I really like
blues.
Muddy Waters.
Chicago blues type of stuff. Whoa.
But if you're...
Check that out.
If you're talking about, like, Muddy's acoustic stuff, the only Muddy Waters I'm really familiar with is Electric Mud, which to me is a classic album of early distortion.
Have you heard that John Lee Hooker album called Electric Hooker?
No, but I have heard that Eddie Grant one, Electric Avenue.
I'm going to rock down to Electric Avenue. And then we'll take you. Hi, y'all. He was a crazy non-Jamaican Jamaican, wasn't he? Or was he?
An Australian Jamaican?
I have no idea.
I don't know.
All right, what's in Terry's cassette deck? Today I dug out a little...
What's in Hans's?
Oh, I didn't... John Lee Hooker.
Oh.
You forgot already? Shit, you made me feel bad for a second. I was listening to...
Well, I totally forgot.
So like... weird, dude. This is fucking weird, and I did not plan this. So, Monday's episode, we started talking about Anthrax or something.
Uh-huh.
Or no, we were talking about Danny Spitz's birthday, mm-hmm. and then Anthrax was in my CD player. Today, we were talking the shit about Kiss.
Mm-hmm.
Fraley's Comet was my tape that I was listening to. Live Plus One. It's a 5-song EP with 4 live songs and 1 studio song.
Mm.
And it's got 2 of my favorites. It's got Rip It Out, which is really originally from the solo album, and Rocket Ride, which was a Kiss hit from the
Rocket Ride.
The 4th side of Alive 2, which was actually not live. So they had mm-hmm. 3 sides live and then a live or a studio side. So yeah, rocking some Fraley's Comet. Didn't really care for the studio song or some of his stuff. You know, I dig his voice. I grew accustomed to it in the 70s and the 80s and stuff. But his music is a little lackluster to me.
I had the little Haley's Comet Hot Wheel. The limited edition one. There's a few. I think there's like the cop car.
Comet?
Yeah, and it had a little Haley's Comet like on the side of the Hot Wheel, you know, how they get commemorative ones.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Those are probably worth some money these days. But...
Uh-huh. Yeah, if you don't have it anymore, do you?
You know what I've been listening to the shit out of is Animals.
Oh, man.
It's a classic album.
It is. It's good.
I can listen. It's probably one of the only albums that I could... probably just listen to on end.
You know what else is weird, dude? We were talking about that album on Martin Luther King Day.
Uh-huh.
On our episode on Martin Luther King Day.
Yep, that dog.
That day is the day that that album was released.
Really?
June 21st, 1977. And that was the day. January 21st. Yeah, and Floyd not the pink, but the regular Floyd had pointed that out to me. And he was posting about that album and how it's just awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And that it was released this day, which is not this day, but the day that we had that podcast on the 21st.
That's awesome.
It's just weird, you know, how the stuff that we're listening to accidentally ties in with what we talk about, and you guys might not believe us and think that we're fucking with you, and maybe we are, but we're not going to tell you. Hey, what do you
got?
What do you got for Hans to check out that you think he might not have ever heard of before?
Oh, Jesus.
Come on, pull it out of your ass.
I'm going to go with...
Indian Turds.
And, movie Aristocats.
Aristocrats.
Aristocrats.
He's seen Aristocats. He probably watched that with his kids.
Yeah. No, Aristocrats.
Yeah. Do you know the aristocrat joke, Hans? Yeah. If you do, call our hotline
and
tell
us,
your version of it.
Tell us your Aristocats.
Hey, that's actually kind of good. Any listeners, actually, not just Hans, we don't want to exclude any of you.
Yeah.
If you know or are familiar with the Aristocrats joke, and if you're not, you should go watch that movie, Bob Saget.
Mm-hmm.
I can't even name all the people. Too many comics to name.
Yeah.
So it's a little incestual. It's kind of a weird joke. But if you're familiar with it, call our hotline. It's 541-791-6824. And if you forget that, it's 6-TAG. 791-6-TAG. Call us and tell us your aristocrat story. And Hans, if you've never seen it, watch it.
And
but don't watch
us.
It with your family. No. Watch it by yourself or with someone that's not... in your family. Oh, it's Friday.
And what about Greg Giraldo?
No, seriously, he's dead.
Oh.
He's on there too, though, isn't he?
Do you think he should have him and Jeffrey Ross should have done buddy movies?
Yeah. I think Jeff Ross is a little overrated, but...
which brings me to my next question...
But I like The Burn. I think that's a pretty funny show.
Yeah, I know. But do you think, I personally believe Giraldo is a better roaster.
Oh, yeah. He would probably have that show if he was still alive.
So you know what I'm saying?
A better roaster?
Nope.
What do you mean?
I'm saying
what are you
that
saying,
Jeffrey Ross paid Dave Grohl.
Oh, to kill Greg Giraldo. Bam. Dropping science. You know, because they met Greg Giraldo because he was pretty hip, and Dave Grohl and him were friends, and then he killed him.
Yeah.
Sorry, Dave. This is all going to be coming out in his new movie, Sound City.
Mm-hmm.
It's called...
And my new book, Dave Grohl Kills the World.
Sound City, The Murders of Dave Grohl. You're like, wait, Dave Grohl's still alive. Yeah, I know. Think about that.
I know.
If he's involved in murders and he's still alive, then he must be on the murdering end. So, you know,
true. Who
knows who's next? Trent Reznor, Juliette Lewis, who's going to be dead next? Joshua Homme.
Have you, are you familiar with Doug Stanhope's Celebrity Death Pool?
A little bit. Not as much as I should be, but didn't he just put someone back in there recently?
I don't know. I don't really follow. I probably should join because it looks fun.
I've heard about it. I thought you were going to elaborate there for a second.
Well, it's like, it's a whole fantasy league. Like, you, at the beginning of the year, you get to pick so many celebrities. And then the scoring goes, whenever one of your people dies, you take 100 minus their age.
Ah.
So if it's somebody who's 70, you only get 30 points. But if you guess, like, Honey Boo Boo died...
Yeah.
You know, you'd get like 96 points or
because
something like
she's
that.
So young.
Yeah.
And not, yeah.
Yeah.
If you said Keith
it's
Richards.
A brilliant fantasy game, you know, and just to create. I love creating scoring systems for stuff. So.
Maybe you should start the Gatch Death Pool.
Maybe I should.
And steal his idea. I'm sure he's not the only one.
They got a podcast. They just came out with their first podcast.
Well, son of a bitch.
I know.
They just had the second episode of the Jeff Garland podcast drop, and I didn't recognize the lady who was on there, but I'm sure that's funny. Didn't get a chance
Margaret
to
see Margaret Cho.
Also, no. But also, the podcast cast with Seth Milstein has a new alternate episode on the weekends called The Week in Review, which they thought that segment was taking up too much time on their regular podcast, so they've kind of split it into two. But I didn't get to finish the episode, so I'm not sure if they covered Zappa Tagcast yet, but they're going to be covering that. If they didn't, they'll cover it on Tuesday. So
Well, I suggested to him that he go and listen to the Daves of Thunder, as I did to you too, because I went back and listened to the second episode of it, and I just still think it's
a Tom Cruise movie.
It's gold. No, Daves of Thunder.
Oh, okay.
That's two guys named Dave. Dave Damashek, who is a comedy writer, and he also wrote, and he's also been on ESPN. He's a sports kind of a guy. Uh-huh. The other guy's a comedy writer who writes for shows. He wrote for According to Jim. He was one of the main writers there. His name's Dave Feeney.
That show's kind of funny.
And so they argue over who's the host of the show and who's the sidekick.
Right.
And they argue over what's relevant to the show. And the producer will throw in this little noise every once in a while. So they'll be sitting there going on a rant, and then you're in this, and then they'll get all pissed. What the fuck is that? And they'll go, that's the move along sound. Move along. And they go, I'll tell you when I'm going to move along.
I'll have to check it out for sure.
Jacuzzi Pete as the producer.
Jacuzzi Pete.
Yep.
Excellent. So, hey, it's Friday. We're about ready to wrap up here. And this weekend, you should go out and do something. Stick around after the show for the plugs. I'm going to try my best to get up to Portland tomorrow night on Saturday to see Yob at Bronx. But it's not 100% that I'll be able to make it, but I'm going to try. Please wish me luck. They're supposed to be performing their Catharsis album in its entirety.
Wow.
First time they've done that in the States in over 10 years. So
this guy's been around a while.
Oh yeah, 96, bro.
Wow.
He started. Well, I mean, it wasn't fully involved, but that's when he started the project. Was 1996. So we're coming up on 20 years or 17 years. Wow. And they're just now getting their comeuppance.
I saw a picture of Aaron.
Yeah.
Playing bass,
going like
some Norse gun. I don't know. I don't know Aaron that well, so I don't know if he would think it was funny.
Was he eating a banana?
No, that's what I was going to say. All this pitcher needs is a banana, and it'll go viral.
Yeah, for sure. This guy needs some calcium. All right, so yeah, we'd like to thank our great sponsors, Pizza Now. We're going to go eat some more now, and if you have to, I guess you can watch the Super Bowl, but you should go to Complete Ag Resolutions instead and get your tractor worked on and just say, fuck the Super Bowl.
Yep, go referees.
Or go to my website and check out that I'm going to be doing a show in Portland on Monday and go to that.
You'll be live streaming the Super Bowl on there too, huh?
Fuck yeah, we will. Yeah, and the Super Bowl midtime party, which we're going to have Nickelback at my house. In the stove, that is. Okay, anyway, go check out terrygile.com. Check out vfmf.org. That's hard to say still. That's a musical scholarship that we're giving away, some guitars to some kids.
Yeah.
And also rate us on iTunes, give us a review, give us some money if you feel so inclined. That's by going to tagcastpodcast.com and clicking on the donate button, and you can do some shopping while you're there at amazon.com. We'll get a little revenue from that. And you can follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook.
Hans, check out Fecal Corpse.
Yeah, Fecal Corpse, man. I'm sure your favorite song is going to be something about a peanut in your...
A festering flesh infection from the slices I got from your peanut-riddled fecal matter.
Piddle peanut-riddled peak. Yeah, you're going to love it, Hans. Maybe that's what you should have asked him if you'd ever heard of. But he listened to Wednesday's episode, so he had already heard of Fecal Corpse. But check them out, dude. They're on Red Rum Records. Red Rum.
Yeah.
So we got some cool links on our site, tagcastpodcast.com as well. You can get a fleshlight for various prices.
Fecalcorpse.net.
You can also check out our present and past sponsors. We have links to all of those guys. We have some links to some other podcasts. Check it out, man. We got everything. It's right there. You can also check out our other thing. It's called the Zapotag Cast. We're up to like 21 episodes and 2 bonus episodes. So if you've never heard that,
23,
you got some catching up to do.
That's what? All Jim Carrey.
Holy shit.
23.
I watched a cool thing with Jim Carrey.
Yeah.
It was,
thanks to all new of our 23 new fans.
Oh man, dude, I was just looking. We're up to, we'll get to that Monday. We'll thank all everybody for liking our pages, but I was watching a thing about it was a Nantucket Film Festival. Roundtable conversation with Chris Rock, Ben Stiller, and Jim Carrey, hosted by that Bill Hader from Saturday Night Live. It was very cool. He was just kind of interviewing the three of them. Who?
McLecker.
McLecker. Who's that?
Or is that Bill Hader?
Bill Hader.
McGlock.
McGlock.
Yeah. The MacGyver guy, ripoff guy. Is that Bill Hader?
No, that's Will Forte.
Oh, okay. No, MacGruber? I know. Yeah.
Bill Hader's the guy that
he's got black hair.
Yeah, and he does that gay guy on the news.
Yeah.
I can't remember his name, but he's pretty funny. But anyway, yeah, it was pretty cool. I think it was from a couple years ago, but it was just cool stories of Jim Carrey and how they started out and Chris Rock, and it was a good watch. Just thought I'd pass that on.
Chris Rock was on that Saturday Night Live crew with David Spade, Chris Farley.
Oh yeah,
Herman,
he was one of the bad boys. Yeah. Yeah, and he said, you know, that he was stupid when he was on Saturday Night Live and just doing a bunch of drugs and.
Oh yeah, I mean,
he's like, I bought a Corvette with.
Right?
He goes, I bought a Corvette with my first paycheck.
Yeah,
that's how stupid I was.
It's the college comedy, right?
Yeah.
If you get in there, you.
And Jim Carrey was talking with Ben Stiller about them working on Cable Guy and stuff like that, and the different. I'd forgotten about how those guys were all, like Chris Rock wrote for the Ben Stiller show.
Mm-hmm.
They're all kind of connected, and they've done a lot of stuff together. So
you've seen all those guys grow from, you know, the days. I mean, Chris Rock. Yeah, I mean, no one would have thought that, you know, he would have been
what he is today. Yeah, yeah. He's got that show, Everybody Loves Chris. Or Everybody Hates Chris, or whatever it was called.
That was a great show, too, man.
And,
you know, as far as, like, one of those, it's a classic Eddie Murphy kind of move, you know, to the mainstream and you go to a kind of a family-friendly comedy format.
Didn't he have, like, the Chris Rock show, too, for a little while?
Yeah, on HBO.
Yeah.
It was kind of like the Dennis Miller show, kind of an interview, kind of a
he
format.
He worked with Louis C.K., Pootie Tang, and
CB4.
Down to Earth.
CB4 was fun.
Yeah. So, yeah, if you guys have a chance, check that out on Netflix or whatever you want to call it. It's a Nantucket Film Festival Roundtable.
Nice.
I just came across it, so just passing it on to all you all because I thought you might enjoy it.
Heck yeah.
So have a good Friday. Have a good weekend. Hope you get out to see Yob. Hope you turn the TV off on Sunday. Just pull your Peter out and start playing with it or something all day. Or have sex with your wife. Or do something. Or you can watch the Super Bowl. Maybe you've got some money riding on it. I don't know.
Go Ravens.
Go Ravens. I'm just going for the Ravens because there's a band called Raven that's heavy metal. I'd rather vote for Blackbirds than Gold Miners.
Yeah, Gold Diggers.
Gold Diggers. Peace out, Nuckas. We'll talk to you Monday. Metal?
The TagCast podcast can be heard on iTunes,
Stitcher,
TuneIn Radio,
and our website,
TagCastPodcast.com.
You can also hear us rebroadcast on internet radio station Rock Out Radio on Friday evenings. Find us on Facebook and review us on iTunes.
Help support our show. Donate directly on our website.
Or click on our Amazon affiliate link before you shop there.
TagCastPodcast.com.
Hey, all you taggers looking for something awesome and cool to do? I hope so, because you don't want to just sit home all the time. God, I know the weather's bad out there, but geez, get out and do something. Friday, February 1st at the Hawthorne Theater, it's DRI. That's those dirty, rotten imbeciles with Rendered Useless and Guillotine. That's at the Hawthorne Theater. Check online for tickets for that one. And if you're not into that and you'd rather check out some Doom, it's basically right around the corner up there in Portland, that Ash Street Saloon downtown, the Witch Mountains LP release for Cauldron of the Wild, excuse me. They're releasing that on purple marbled vinyl. Diesta will be playing too, as well as two bands from New Orleans, Solid Giant and Red Shield. Check that out. 8:30 show, 21 and over, $8 at the door. February 2nd, that's a Saturday night at Bronx. It's Yob and Rolling Through the Universe, who are releasing their CD. It's a CD release show for them, and Usnia will be opening the show. Also that night at the Schnitz, it's Lewis Black. If you'd rather see some comedy, go check that out. February 11th, it's a Monday at John Henry's in Eugene, Oregon. It's Nashville Pussy. You can check out their website for ticket information or John Henry's on Facebook. Wednesday, February 13th at the Roseland Theater, it's Marilyn Manson and Butcher Babies. That's up in Portland, and you should go check that out. They usually play bigger venues than that. Sunday, February 17th at Wonder Ballroom, it's Red Fang. I'm sure there's some other bands playing, but I haven't got any more information on that as of yet. So go check that out. February 19th at the Hawthorne Theater at Soulfly, Insight, Lodi Kong, and 30 Pound Test. You can get your tickets from Zach or Jason Rowe or Lyndon Wood or Blake Hansel. All the dudes from 30 Pound Test, check them out. They're on our friends list on our Facebook. February 22nd at the Baghdad Theater, it's comedy night with Tristan Spillman and friends up there at the historic Baghdad. It's $5 at the door, 21 and over, usually a 10 p.m. show, but we'll get more details on that as they develop, as well as the lineup. Couple more shows in February that I almost forget to mention. February 4th, that's a Monday, at Eastburn in Portland, it's Down to Funny with your host, Nick Gones. Also features comedy from myself, Christian Ricketts, Nick Walker, and Randy Mendez, as well as a few others. That starts at 8:30. It's 1800 East Burnside in Portland. So check that out. And on the 15th, that's also a Friday night, it's going to be in Corvallis at Cloud and Kelly's. It's Shingles the Sad Clown's Cavalcade of Sorrow with five comics, and Shingles will be hosting the show. That's a 9:30 show, $3 to $5 sliding scale, Cloud and Kelly's, 126 Southwest 1st in Corvallis. It's going to be featuring myself, John Severs, Alex Alvarez, Michael Cunningham, and another fella whose name is escaping me right now. So go check out those comedy shows or go do some rocking. That's all I got for you right now. We will update this next week. Go ahead. What you got?
Shingles has nothing to do with Shingles Clown has nothing to do with the disease. It's just his name.
Oh, yeah. He used to have shingles, but now he just is. Get out and do something fun, you guys. We'll talk to you next time on TagCastPodcast.com. Bitches.
TagCastPodcast.com.